to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Get ready to uncover the secrets, gain valuable insights, and conquer any dental challenge that comes your way. From advanced techniques, innovative technologies, and the ever-important set skills, Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. Today, I'm delighted to have as a guest, Debbie Seidel-Bidke. She's a registered dental hygienist, and she is CEO, owner, and manager of Dental Practice Solutions. Decide, empower, and grow. So she hopes to and looks at going into offices and optimizing their dental hygiene department. And so Debbie, welcome today, and I'm glad you came in to spend some time with us.
Thank you, John. It's nice to see you again.
Yeah, it is good to see you again. We've spoken a couple of times before, and you know, we've kind of kicked off a good relationship. And so I really, you know, the dental hygiene department and what the role that the dental hygienist plays in the dental practice. I think a lot of times, Debbie, the hygienists just do not grasp their importance. And I don't think they run with their capabilities or challenge themselves enough to really grow from being just a good dental hygienist to a great one. What do you see?
I absolutely agree with you, John. You know, it sounds so cool to be a dental hygienist, just like when I was in high school. It sounded really cool to be the homecoming queen and on the cheerleading team or in the band. And to me, at the age of 12, it sounded so cool to be a dental hygienist. And then I graduated from USC back many decades ago, and I had no idea what to do. And here I am the same day saying the same thing, doing the same thing over and over, and it gets to be monotonous. And it wasn't until I was challenged that I discovered my why. And, you know, Simon Sinek now has a book, Your Why. And if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't read that book or even listened to what it's about, it's a really great book to help you enjoy more of what you do, because dentistry has changed dramatically over the last 20 years for sure. And when I learned I wasn't just cleaning teeth, it became so much more important and valuable to me what I'm doing. So I suggest that all of us know, go back to our why. And I say that when people ask me, what is the one tip you have to a happy marriage, for a long time marriage, is why did you want to get married? Why did you love that person and have to be with him? And why did you have to be a dentist? I always ask my client dentist that. Why dentistry?
Yeah. And that's a great question. Why? And why am I doing this? And just continue to ask yourself why along your journey there, and just kind of keep digging deeper. Back to Simon Sinek a moment. He has a TEDx or TED Talk about the why. It's a great, great TED Talk. Takes about 15, 20 minutes to listen to.
Okay.
He goes deep with it, and you would come away with a great appreciation as to finding out what your why is. And I do. I think that's critically important for people and dentists, Debbie. And particularly, you know, I again, in my practice, I really had a high value for the dental hygienist in my office. And we, you know, called it the dental hygiene department. I wanted them to feel really special. But I found time and time again in interviewing, when we had one person leave for some reason or another, we brought in new people to apply for the job. I found myself continually being disappointed by the lack of quality of applicants. What do you see?
What I see is I see a lot of hygiene applications working with dentists, and there's so much turnover. And what I see is that we're stuck in these six words. We've always done it this way.
Yeah.
And they, most hygienists don't want somebody like, I think it's easier for me because I'm a dental hygienist and I do share my why. And I ask people, will you help me? Will you partner with me to help conquer this disease? And who's going to say no? And it's working with hygienists to understand that we're doing more than cleaning teeth, because most hygienists who are applying for that position, they think they're cleaning teeth. They're collecting a check. But if you become, if you think of yourself as more like a physician's assistant, a nurse practitioner, you're like a mini associate to the dentist, I think you're more likely to be more than just an applicant and more than a person cleaning teeth.
Yeah. What I found, Debbie, in my practice was I'm a person that enjoys challenge. And when I see a challenge, it offers me an opportunity to grow. It offers me an opportunity to sit back and figure out a little bit more about where I'm at right now. And also to vision into the future. And, you know, visioning into the future is fun and exciting, because it's, everything is new. And there's no boundaries placed on us when we dream and vision. We have a degree of freedom, and we have a degree of hope. And I wanted my staff, every one of them, to feel that feeling that they had the freedom. And so I said, this is your hygiene. Your chair is your own office. It's your own practice within my practice. Let's make it something phenomenal. And so I would challenge them with growth opportunities and ways to communicate and relate, and how to look at dental hygiene differently, and how to understand the importance that they had, not just within the practice, but within that relationship with the patient. But a lot of them shied away from that. When I proposed that challenge to them, boom, they were gone. They didn't come back the next day.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? Dentistry is about relationships. My dad is the one that inspired me to become a dental hygienist. He said, Debbie, you love to talk. And this will be a great opportunity for you. And both my parents were sitting there and they said, you know, you can work as much as you want, as little as you want. You can have your own family. You can live on your own, never get married. You can have a great life being a dental hygienist. And I think that it's important that we know this is relationships. Like, I love meeting people. I love talking to people. I also enjoy listening. What I'm hearing is that the majority of people are thinking they need to work and get a paycheck.
Correct.
And what I'm trying to do with hygienists is understand, and when I speak at dental conferences, I love speaking to the auxiliaries, and even I love working with the doctors, because we tap into why we're doing more than just cleaning teeth. If you understand how valuable you are as a team player in the dental office, it's so much beyond collecting a paycheck. I truly believe, and I get a chance to work And if I'm speaking at a conference for 3 hours, I get to share my stories that have impacted me to love what I do. It doesn't matter if I'm 70 or 80 years old. I still want to share my message. And then I want, you know, you're not still employing hygienists, right?
Nope.
You've moved on. But I feel sad that they didn't understand that you're a perfect opportunity to have an employer who's in relationship with you. You see, I believe that the doctor sets the tone to make or break your day. I mean, we're in charge of how we feel. But if the doctor comes to work and they don't even say hello to their employees, how does that make you feel? What is that like? But you're talking to me about empowering and lifting,
yes,
and helping them grow. They missed an opportunity to be better. I think that we love life more if we understand that we are constantly never ending growing and learning.
Very true. And you answered one of my questions that I was going to propose to you was the conflicting situation of the ambivalent doctor that walks in the back door. And like you said, doesn't really greet their people or doesn't have a meaningful morning huddle where they, you know, are continuing to fluff their culture, strengthen their culture, and strengthen their unity for the day. And, you know, when the doctor does not engage with his staff in a meaningful, purposeful way, it's hard for the staff. In fact, if you are a person that really is entrepreneurial and wants to practice in a fulfilling way, that doctor is not for you. You need to fire him and move on. Yeah, you smile, and I know you agree with that.
I've been in that situation.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. And that's why I felt my responsibility, Debbie, was to help my staff become as great as they could become and empower them with the freedom to create their ideal day. And so my hygienists, they were responsible for scheduling the patients there in the chair, and so that they could then create their days as they wish. So my proposition to them would be, sit back and just vision that ideal day, the day where you walk away and it has been exceptionally fulfilling, to where you have been in a transformational mode in being present with the patient versus a transactional mode of being with the patient. And when you make that switch from transactional to transformational, it's a huge, huge mindset difference, to where then you realize, I'm really here to make a difference for this patient.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it fun.
I always coach, when I'm coaching, we always talk, one of the things, there are many areas that I coach the hygiene department on, and one of the reasons why doctors hire me is because they come into the hygiene room to do the exam. For many reasons, it's not going well when they come in to do the exam. It could be that they're late. A lot of times doctors tell me there's crickets. And I like to coach and say, you know, we're on stage. The minute you walk in the door of that dental office, you have to put on your actress or actor attitude. You're on stage. You know, you have to forget what happened earlier that morning or last night. And so I like to say that we're having a party. You know, I love people and I want to make my patients laugh and have fun when we're there. Of course, I'm all about helping to identify inflammation in the mouth and help them live a longer, healthier life. I told you my why just now. Yeah. But in doing that, I want to make them smile and have fun and enjoy their time with me. And then when the doctor comes in to do that, if they're in relationship, if they have what you modeled for us, now when the doctor comes in, they're joining the party.
Yeah.
And we're in great rapport with our patient.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the hygienist has a great opportunity. Now I'm getting passionate here. Mm-hmm. Enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The hygienist has a great opportunity to have a good time with the patient, make them comfortable, get to know them, make them feel comfortable, show them what's happening in their mouth. And now doctor's coming to the party. And now you get to collaborate with doctor, sharing. You get to be that person that shares and just brings doctor into loop. And that helps to expedite the hygiene doctor exam process as well. But you have nailed what it takes to get in great rapport, not only with your team, but then you can take it over into the patients, working with the patients, and have an environment where people want to work in the office.
Right.
Does this help the people that are listening to understand how we can love what we do more?
Yeah. You said something there that I really liked about, you know, the hygienist and the patient having such a relationship that they feel like they're having a party with their best friend. And with a doctor coming in, he needs to respect that environment that's been established by the patient and the hygienist, and not just barge in and go, I'm here, and take it over. He needs to enter into the room respectfully as to what's going on. And I think at times some doctors have a difficult time relinquishing control.
In their office. Yeah. You know what that, do you agree? I think part of that is trust. When I work with doctors who have to micromanage, they do not trust that their team can do it as well as they could do. So for example, what I'm teaching is called a down to a science time management formula. We start from the top. And at the minute you say hello to your patient as the hygienist, you're building the rapport, and then you go through the data collection, which is all those things. But if doctors understand the hygienist has a recipe book, and then doctors part of the recipe, they're part of the main ingredient of the recipe to come in after the rapport has been established, after we've collected all the information, doctor can feel relaxed.
Yes.
And know that they're being, you know, now brought into the party. They've been handed the glass of wine to join in the conversation about what we've been talking about the last 30, 40 minutes. Because the doctor doesn't need to wait until the end of that hygiene appointment to come in, you know?
Correct. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I think there's an element of trust there. And the trust goes both ways. The doctor does not come into the room maybe trusting what's going on in there, and the hygienist doesn't trust that the doctor will come in and respect what she's done. And I think a lot of this, Debbie, goes back to the leadership skills of the doctor. When he hires these his staff, he needs to have a clear understanding of what he wants. And then in my practice, the best person to coach up and teach and develop that scenario with the hygienist and the patient and the doctor interaction was the doctor. Share with his hygienist what he's needing, what he's wanting, and what he's expecting, and then saying, here, let's co-create this, and then trusting the people then at that point to give him what he wants. You know, trust, you only get as much trust as you give. You just, it doesn't...
It goes both.
Yeah. There's no other way to look about it. What you give is what you get. And if you're not willing and you don't trust, then you're not giving trust.
I think this is such a great conversation we're having, because one thing what I've learned is that never have dentists been asked these questions. Never have they taken time to think, why are they doing what they're doing? And what is it that they want for their practice? And then be able to share it with the team.
Yes, right. I think you're spot on. And that's a topic we could talk in depth about for quite some time. But I think you are spot on with that a lot of doctors, a lot of dentists do not take the time to create a vision. Do not take enough time to assess their leadership skills and their ability to relate and communicate with people and have presence that brings out the best in the people that are around you. And I think that's critically important if you want an extremely successful dental practice and to niche up and to create that entrepreneurial practice that has exceptional fulfillment, which then the more fulfilled you are in your dental practice, the greater the finances are. I mean, it is a direct relationship. The greater the fulfillment, which creating fulfillment does take time, energy, focus, and commitment and courage. But the greater your fulfillment, the greater your financial reward is. It's, how do I know that? Because that's what happened with me in my practice.
I know, so, you've told me.
Yeah. The the greater the doctor spends time at doing these things and then does it also with the staff, then they buy in, and it's just a wonderful relationship, Debbie.
You know, it's really interesting. You're making me think of my dentist here in Arizona where I live, because I chose him because I could tell just by looking online. I did a lot of research when I moved to Arizona to find a great dentist, and he's less than 5 minutes from my house, but he's an amazing clinician. I could tell. And then when I met him, I was very impressed. But, you know, I'm going to see him next month. It's my hygiene appointment. And I was thinking, you know, one of the key pieces missing, he's a great clinician, but he's never spent time, I can tell, on these things that we're talking about. I think I'm going to share this podcast with him. I hope he's not embarrassed that I'm talking about him.
Well, let's do. Share it with him. And, you know, I come off sometimes as lecturing, but Debbie, I think in a lot of business and the world out there, we try to make things far more complicated than they are. And, you know, when you come down to it, a lot of this is just basic relational concepts and ideas. And the greater that you connect with people and have presence with them, the more that they are going to respond to you. And it goes back to a saying that Zig Ziglar had, is if you give people enough of what they want, they will give you what you want. And so what do people want? They want attention. They want to know that they're appreciated and understood. They want to know that they have value to you. They want to know that they are relevant to you. And so if you give them those things, then they will give you what you want. And so it's kind of like you do that, and they are far, far more apt to say yes to treatment plans.
Oh, yes, my God.
Yes to periodontal programs.
John, you just touched a hot button in me.
Yeah.
You know, I have a teeth whitening program.
Yes.
And it is estimated to be an $8 billion business in North America. But people, it's a huge profit center potential in a dental office. But if you were to ask an office how many patients have had a teeth whitening treatment, either take home or in office, in that dental office, it's not very many, not even 10%. Not 20. And you know how we can do more aesthetic dentistry and more teeth whitening, which is super simple to do nowadays, no impressions, etc. It's asking this one question to every patient that comes in. And you can say it in different ways, but here's one way. If there's one thing we can do today to make you very happy with your smile, what would that be? And do you know what most people will say, John?
I imagine they're going to say whitening.
I would say 70% of those people are going to tell you they want whiter teeth. But there are some people who are going to say, oh, I've got a discolored tooth here. Maybe it's an old filling. That opens up the door because you were talking about this, John. Now you have somebody in your chair who's telling you what they want. And people will buy what they want.
Absolutely. And Debbie, it takes just, what, a minute or so of giving that patient the attention they want. When you give people attention, undivided attention, you square up with them, you look them in the eyes, you ask great questions, you listen, you're giving them the ultimate form of respect by listening to them.
Yes.
When they sense that you're listening to them, they will open up and tell you the depths of their inner dreams and visions. I would love to have whiter teeth, but, well, Mrs. Jones, guess what? We can whiten your teeth first. That's the first thing that we would need to do anyway, and then we can change the way that tooth looks. Does that sound like something you would be interested in doing? Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Simple. You know,
exactly.
It comes to taking the conversation down to sitting around a campfire in the evening in a lawn chair with just a slight chill in the air, your arms crossed, mm-hmm. you're staring into the fire, and you just start talking. And again, conversation, we try to make it too difficult, Debbie, and it really is very simple. Just look at people and ask great questions and make sure it's all about the person, not you.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. Good for you on your whitening product.
Thanks. It's been fun. And, you know, I am passionate about it because I'm helping dentists to save time. Their patients don't have pain. Discomfort doesn't take a long time. And it's been a huge profit potential for the dentist to tap into.
Yeah. You know, it's having a good conversation with the patient and with your staff. You know, we spent a lot of time with staff meetings. We'd come in once a month on a Friday or stay on our Thursday afternoons after we're done with the week and have a team meeting, team conference. And we would plan and plan and talk and plan. And it's separation through exceptional preparation. Mm. And if you don't prepare, you're not going to separate. And it's creating that difference in that separation. And same thing in communicating with patients. If you take a few minutes and ask a great question and just shut up and let the patient talk, they will reveal, as you said, their deep inner wishes and a great treatment plan for you to start on with them. It opens it up for them. So we dentists and staff don't appreciate the concept of slowing down so you can speed up. Slow down and ask great questions so you can sit there and have a full morning, one patient, quadrant dentistry, or a full day of cosmetic dentistry. I'd much rather do that than see 20 patients and do 20 fillings.
Right. Yep, that's how you get patients to do what they need and what they want is by listening to them. And after you've asked great questions, understanding what is valuable to them and then making the benefit for them to get what they need.
Yeah. If you were to tell the dentists that are listening to this, from your experience, what is probably the one biggest takeaway that they can go with in what you as a dental hygienist sitting in the chair or part of the team would love to see from the dentist?
Well, there are many things. I think it's collaboration, openness to listen to the team and encourage and collaborate with the team.
That's a good word. You know, in order to collaborate, it takes a degree of being open and vulnerable. And, you know, just saying to the team, hey, I don't have all the answers here, folks. Let's figure this out together.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. That's a great point. Great point. Now, what would you, and we may have already spoken to this, what would you like the doctor or the dentist, let's say, or the leader? Let's just say the leader of the team is the dentist.
Uh-huh.
What would be the most important component as a leader that you would like to see as a team member?
For me personally, I want to feel empowered that I can be myself, and I like to take the lead. I like to be part of the team, but I also like to have something that I'm in charge of. And I do teach when I'm coaching that the doctor should empower his team, that each person, if you empower them, if you know how to be the leader, empower them, you should be able to establish a leader in that person. So the offices I've worked with who have grown the most without working harder, they had a dental assistant. Each dental assistant was in charge of certain things, but doctor could always go to that one lead dental assistant. Same thing. I do best if I'm in an environment working, when I was working full time, I was the lead hygienist. And then we have the front office lead. And that I teach, I know that this helps doctor to not have to micromanage. They can inspect what they're expecting. And one of the first things we do is get doctor to understand why they want to have ABC dental office and what they want to accomplish in their ABC dental office. Now we can bring it to the team. And every, you know, what team members are saying is, I don't know what doctor expects.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I want to know, that doctor's empowering me and that it, helping me be the best I can be as a leader. We all have something inside of us that we can be a leader in.
I really like that answer. And you want encouraged, empowered leadership given to you by the doctor.
Absolutely. I always want to add, well, this is again, my parents told me, you always want to be the best employee the yes. doctor will ever have. And yeah. I came with that mindset.
Yeah.
I want to be memorable. I don't want to just live life and then die one day. I want to make the world better. I want to make an impact. And yeah. so, you know, like when I got married, which was over 25 years ago, not to be boastful or anything, but I have a relationship with my patients. They know that they can depend on me for the best care. And I was nowhere near where I am in life and my profession today, but I had a relationship and they trusted me. And when I went on my honeymoon, I was gone for 2 weeks. And unfortunately, a lot of the patients wouldn't see anybody else, but they trusted me and my doctor empowered me. He let me be a leader of that hygiene department. And by empowering me, that made me happy. I wanted to take a lead. Everybody wants to, there's something. You got to find what is that hot button in that person and yep. build on that. Now I think yep. you can keep an employee who's going to stay forever because you found what makes them tick.
Yep.
And build on that.
Great. I love that. It takes conversation and it takes commitment. It takes courage on both sides. It takes courage on the doctor to say, here, let's do this. And it takes a lot of courage on the staff to really trust that he is being very open with them and being very honest in the fact that he's saying, here, take this and become a leader in your specialized expertise. Because dental hygienists have an expertise. And really, my dental assistants, I felt they had an expertise. And it was my responsibility to help coach up and teach more and develop that expertise stronger. I felt the front desk people had an expertise. And we all bring it together. And when you let people run with their leadership and their expertise, boom, you have such a synergistic effect that your practice will grow exponentially. It'll be a fun, fun day. You will leave every day with a great degree of fulfillment. And you'll think, what a phenomenal day we had. And
yes.
Oh, by the way, we had phenomenal production.
Yes.
It's a great scenario. It's not that difficult, is it, Debbie?
It's loving what you do, and you will never work a day in your life.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Debbie, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you spending time today and sharing a lot of your good insight and thought process with the audience. How can they best get a hold of you? We'll put it in the show notes also, but tell them how that is the best way for them to get in contact with you.
Well, I'm going to give you my personal email. It's Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at dentalpracticesolutions.com. We're in the process right now of building a new updated website, new logo and everything. And that is dentalpracticesolutions.com. So by the time this podcast is released, we might have the website updated with a new look. My phone number is 888-816-1511. And I invite you to look around the website. I have many resources, some free resources, and also some online trainings and then coaching with me.
Well, it's been a great podcast with you and conversation, Debbie. We hope that the people that are listening to this will take this information and run. And also, if they have any questions, I do hope that we have spirited thought and a little bit of deep looking at yourself. And if they have questions and want to follow up with us on an individual basis, they can contact me on my podcast, on my my email and your email. And I know I'll be more than happy to visit with someone on the phone, and so would you. And if they want to get both of us on the phone at the same time, we can do that too. So we're here to help you folks grow and get better and tickle your entrepreneurial spirit and put a little Miracle-Gro on that seed of greatness that lies inside you. So
I just get so excited seeing the doctors when their practice grows. I'm so excited. I do backflips and all that.
It is fun. There's something inside of us that just feels really good for them for the right reasons. So it's great. So, okay, that is our podcast for today. We hope you've enjoyed it. And I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.